I've shared before a part of my upbringing that I grew up in Kentucky on the Ohio River, and that my school was in Ohio, and so most of my friends and the people I saw at church, they lived in Ohio. But my family, we always lived in Kentucky. And my last name, Van Hoos, is a pretty common name in eastern Kentucky. Probably around 2 hours east of where I grew up, there are a lot of Van Hooses. But in my hometown, there weren't very many. We just had a few close family members that lived around us with the same last name, Van Hoos. And so I was driving to school one day when I was a senior in high school, listening to the radio, as I often would, and I hear on the news a startling announcement that a teenager, Chad Van Hoos, from eastern Kentucky, was apprehended last night and charged for the double homicide of his parents. I'm driving my car and my eyes get wide as saucers. Did I just hear my name? I walk into school and you can imagine the reaction. I'm walking down the hallway and I see people like going against the lockers. Even my religion teacher, she saw me in the hallway and she said, "Oh, I'm so glad it wasn't you." It was a case of mistaken identity. If you look up Chad Van Hoos, you can Google it when you go home later today, that man is still in jail. He was charged for the double homicide of his parents. He was only a few years older than I was. I'm sure any time I have a background check done up here in Minnesota and they research my name from Kentucky, they probably have to go just under the surface to make sure that I am not him. But it was a case of mistaken identity, and those looks I'll never forget. People looking at me, judging me, thinking, who is this? We thought we knew him. But he has this same name, or he's at least part of this same family that has a dark past that we are somewhat even fearful of. And I receive those same looks even to this day from others who judge me perhaps by another name that I bear, Christian. You probably get them too. People who know you're a Christian, people who know you bear a certain name and belong to a certain family, they might give you that crazy look sometimes. Do you really believe all those things that Christians believe? Are you really part of that family? Do you really serve that master, that God? How on earth would you be a part of a wounded church? Look at all your other members and how wounded and scandalous they have been. Even look at your Lord and the demands that he puts on his people. Is that a loving God whom you want to be part of? I get those looks. You get those looks. We may not get any words behind them because we're in Minnesota. People are too nice to attack us sometimes. Maybe they do sometimes. But we still get that look sometimes. Is this really the person whom you devote your life to? And I think that might be at play in the parable today. This master who has different servants, and he entrusts talents to them. He entrusts part of his treasure, and then he leaves, and they're instructed to go out and bear the name of their master and make a profit on behalf of his name. And we hear that two of the servants go out and do that. They take risks, I'm sure. They take financial risks. They invest these talents. They also just take a personal risk of bearing the master's name, that I'm one of his servants and I'm coming to you on his behalf. And as we heard from the third servant, people knew this master to be a demanding person. And so they had to go out in his name and exchange their talents and act on his behalf. And that took some risk, I'm sure, to bear the name of that master, to say, I belong to him in a certain way. But the first two went out and did it, and we see that they reaped a harvest. But it's actually not because of their success, it's not because of their harvest that they're rewarded. Look at the words that the master actually says when he comes back. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come share your master's joy. He doesn't reward them for their success. He rewards them for their faithfulness, for bearing his name in the world, for taking a risk. Sure, they were successful. Sure, they reaped a generous harvest, but it's not why they were rewarded. They were rewarded for bearing the master's name, for being faithful to his demands. But then the servant who wasn't faithful receives a different reward, doesn't he? He receives a different judgment. He says to his master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. He was afraid of his master, and he was afraid of bearing his name, and so he hid. He hid the fact that he was even the servant of this particular master. It would be like us saying, I'm not a Christian in the way that you might think. I'm not one of those crazy Christians. I'm not one of those who believes everything and who goes out and that's not me. We can hide like this third servant sometimes and be afraid to bear the name on behalf of our master because we're afraid of the judgment. We can be afraid of the risk. But it's a question that each of us has to ask. What have I ventured for the sake of my master? What have I risked? Have I risked reputation? Have I risked financial stability? Have I risked the gift of my time onto his behalf? It takes a risk to receive the reward. We might risk those looks I got in the hallway as a teenager, the risks that I receive sometimes as a priest or as a Christian. We have to risk that in order to bear the name that the Father wants to give us. It's actually a great dignity to bear his name, to bear the name of Christian, to say, I do follow a Savior who is demanding, but who invites me into his joy and invites me into the comfort and peace of his family. I'll leave you with those words from the Book of Wisdom that we received at the beginning, because I think we could change the word wife to the name Christian, because this is whom our Lord seeks. I mentioned in my homily last week that Jesus is the bridegroom of the church, and he searches for a bride who's committed and faithful to him. And so this Book of Wisdom in the Old Testament can be seen as a foreshadowing of Jesus searching for a committed bride. And so I'll leave those words with you, changing the word wife to Christian. When one finds a worthy Christian, her value is far beyond pearls. Her husband, entrusting his heart to her, has an unfailing prize. She brings him good and not evil all the days of her life. She works with loving hands. She reaches out her hands to the poor and extends her arms to the needy. Charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting, but the Christian who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a reward for her labors, and let her works praise her at the city gates. Brothers and sisters, let's be that kind of Christian. Let's be the one who bears our Master's name with great joy, risking perhaps judgment or accusation, because it's only in making this risk that we will reap the rewards the Master has for us.